We have with us here at SBS Studios Associate Professor Madhu Bhaskaran from the RMIT University. Welcome to SBS Radio, Madhu.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
Now, you've broken a huge stereotype, and I have to tell our listeners that normally we hear that women or young girls don't opt for STEM subjects, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics type of subjects. Now, not have you just opted for it, you have completely excelled in it, and you've just won the Eureka Prize. So this is a great Eureka moment, I think, for all women of Indian origin in Australia. Heartiest congratulations.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
Oh, it sunk in now. It didn't sink in for quite some time. I obviously didn't expect to win. And this is one of those very unique prizes where you don't know you've won until you're actually, you know, announced as the winner on stage. And that's why they call it the Oscars of Australian Science. So as much as I didn't expect to win, it's a wonderful recognition and it's always nice.
It's fantastic to hear. It's such a great success story. But of course, there's a lot of background work that's gone into making this happen. So tell us a little bit about your own journey. You came in as an international student. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I've been here for nearly 13 years now, and I came here in the year 2004, and that was to do a master's program in microelectronics. And that was again at RMIT. The plan was always just to finish the master's and go back to India. But having come here, I managed to go into labs and get my hands dirty, as you would call it, making electronic devices and really small devices. And that really excited me. Mm. That's something I've never done back in India. And so the prospect of actually continuing to do that was something I was looking forward to. I was lucky. I managed to get an international scholarship to do a PhD after that. So needless to say, I stayed back to do a PhD. And then after that, I was again lucky to get a fellowship from the Australian government to do a postdoctoral fellowship here at RMIT, and stayed on. And here I am today.
Fantastic. So what is it exactly that you do? It's a future that you're gearing up to, and you're creating these devices. Tell us what exactly you do.
So I'm an electronics engineer, and one of the things which we commonly tell each other in our group is, you know, imagine science fiction turning into reality. Mm. So if you actually look at the movies from back in the 60s and 70s, you see very futuristic things. Mm. But then today you realize a lot of those things which they showed back then are actually here now. They are the present. And so what I'm imagining is, you know, what's life going to be like, say, 40 or 50 years from now. So specifically what I work on are what's called wearable electronics. So very similar to your Fitbit or your Apple Watch or those kind of things, but a much less clunkier version. Mm-hmm. So something which is very thin and it just integrates well with your skin. And you could put it to a variety of applications.
Okay. So it's like almost like a thin band-aid film kind of a thing.
Exactly.
And what does it do?
So you could imagine it doing a variety of things for you. So specifically, I work in wearable sensors. So what I have done is demonstrated gas sensors. So say, you know, you have people working in mines and you have danger. You might have a dangerous gas present, but you want to know whether it's there or not. Instead of just relying on, you know, a gas sensor which is present along the walls of the mine, you have a little sensor on you which picks up the presence of those gases. Okay. Similarly, in Australia, skin cancer is of major concern. Mm. So you're on the beach. You want to know how much UV you've been exposed to. This little sensor which you're wearing could monitor the amount of UV exposure you've had.
Okay.
So, but there's a lot of research obviously going on elsewhere in the world as well in this particular field. So instead of just focusing on outward things, a lot of these electronics are now going skin deep. So people are imagining, you know, putting these patches on your skin to analyze sweat or analyze, you know, blood glucose levels or things like that. So really a world of possibilities.
The potential is absolutely huge. So how close is this to being actually used by consumers out there?
There are certain things which are available out there. So there's little patches which you can, like L'Oreal had something last year, which, you know, it's a little patch which you put on your skin and it changes color based on the amount of UV you've had. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the first ever product which is probably out there in consumer market. We will get there probably in, say, 10 or 15 years' time. Just depends on the complexity of the application, obviously, mm-hmm. and anything to do with medical or diagnostics-based ones obviously take much longer.
Yeah. So this is really very exciting. So is it just the research that you're doing, or you've got some PhD students who work under you? What exactly are you doing at RMIT at the moment?
So currently I'm again on one other ARC or Australian Research Council fellowship. So what that allows me to do is basically focus on research entirely. And as a typical academic, you would have to do teaching. You'll also have to do research. And in research also comes in the the supervision of PhD students and mentoring of other students and things like that. But given I'm on this fellowship, I don't have to teach now for the next couple of years, and my focus is therefore entirely on research, which includes guiding my team to, you know, getting these research outcomes.
Wow. And what's your dream? I must ask you, I mean, if you dream big and think about 20, 30 years, you mentioned that, what would be something that you achieve and you feel, yes, I've done it?
I think as an engineer, thinking typically as an engineer, the idea would be to get these products out there in market. I know physically I'm not going to be the person who's going to be doing it, but to even see any of these things which you've realized in the lab, make it all the way to the market, that will be an absolute dream for us. Mm. And the fact is, you know, Australia doesn't have a big semiconductor industry or electronics industry. But this now is the time, you know. I mean, this is a niche space which I hope the country will get into and invest, because it is the future. Mm. And we've always had big innovation in this kind of space and along medical technology space. So to just see this actually, you know, making its way to society and impacting people, that will be wonderful.
Well, it's people like you who end up making Australia the clever country, because that's what the Prime Minister often likes to say, we're the innovative country. So this is fantastic. I would especially like you to address, you know, little girls and young women who are thinking of career options. Very often we do hear, and I began with that, that STEM subjects are almost a no-no. What sparked your interest, and how is it that we can continue to light that or ignite that in young women today?
Having been from India, it's a bit different over there. I mean, females do have their own set of problems and issues back in India, needless to say. But I don't think I've ever felt science or engineering is not for women. I mean, that's the reason I'm here. And my parents, being medical doctors, again, they motivated me to study well, work hard, study well, and achieve whatever you want to achieve. And that's pretty much it. I mean, everyone can be what they want to be. And as much as I appreciate you not seeing that many role models or that many women in STEM, I think the very few who are there should, you know, be able to hopefully inspire more women and more girls to get into it and start doing more of this. Obviously, we need gender here. I mean, we absolutely need the gender diversity. But having said that, the last couple of years, people have woken up to this fact. There's a lot of noise happening both in Australia as well as in the global space around this. Mm. So there's a lot of concerted effort to going into schools, you know, teaching young girls about science and hoping to, you know, spark their imagination early enough before they turn their minds off science. So hopefully going forward, you know, it should make a bigger difference.
And coming back to the Eureka Prize, would you possibly be the first woman of Indian origin who's won the Eureka Prize?
Oh, God, I've obviously not gone in and looked at that. I was curious to see if I know I've been the first woman to win it in a really long time. It's been going to males quite a bit in the last 4 or 5 years. So, but Indian woman, maybe, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. This is a huge, huge achievement. And we can only congratulate you and wish you the best for the future. In parting, is there a message that you have for the community, the fast-growing Indian-Australian community over here?
I didn't think of anything along those lines. But, you know, it's what I usually tell any international student who comes to this country. And especially among Indians, I find this quite often. And even for me, I obviously experience the same thing. We grow up in a country where we are told so often it's not right to ask questions. Don't ask questions, just accept things as they are. It took me almost 3 or 4 years to get it out of my system, you know, and actually start asking questions and understand that it's okay to be inquisitive, ask questions, know more. And that's the same thing I tell my international students as well. You know, when you just sit there and keep nodding your head and not asking questions, it's just assumed everything is okay. So let go of that shyness a little bit, develop a little more confidence and come forward with your questions.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a privilege for me to ask all these questions from you today. Thank you very much that you made the time to come to our studios.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.